The letter Paul wrote to the followers of Jesus in Rome stands as one of the most clear explanations of God's saving and sustaining grace. In Liberate, we discover the positive repercussions of this grace, which frees us from our sinful pasts and provides strength for today and tomorrow's moments of needed obedience.
How's everyone doing? Y'all awake? Yeah? Well, if I haven't met you yet and you're just joining us, so you missed Josh's introduction, my name's Bo Ayers. I've been a pastoral apprentice here at City Lights under our lead pastor, Chris Armfield, for about the past 2 years. Typically speaking, you'll see me leading and speaking at our college and young professionals environment called Resonate. I love being a part of that ministry. I was actually with some friends this past weekend, and we were just celebrating all that God has done, is doing, and anticipating what he will do. One of my favorite stories of Resonate, just real quick. A couple of weeks ago, I met a girl afterwards, and I could tell it was her first time, so I just introduced myself, asked her how she heard about us and what her story was, and she cut to the chase pretty quick. She told me pretty early on, she just said, "Bo, about a year ago, I had an abortion, and I've regretted my decision every day since. And I went to the church to get help, and I felt like an outcast everywhere I went. I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody, or it was really difficult to find someone to talk to, and someone told me about Resonate, and I've never felt like I could open up and share my story with someone and them not treat me differently because of it." So I love what God's doing at Resonate. I love being a part of it, but this morning specifically, I'm excited and frankly honored to have the opportunity to learn with you guys, to follow our God together, to learn more about who he is, and then learn more about who we are in response to who he is. So I want to teach a message this morning that I've titled Tough Love. Tough Love. And I'd actually like it if we could start by just saying three simple words together. The words are, "I love you." So on the count of three, we're all going to say, "I love you," loudly. And let me just say this, if you're single in the room, don't be ashamed to find someone around you that also is single and maybe say it in their direction. Who knows? You could have a lunch date after this. If any of you get a lunch date, I'll pay for it. All right, so on the count of three, let's say I love you. You ready? One, two, three. Have you ever realized how easy that is to say to some people? Don't you have people in your life that those words just seem to come naturally when you're around them, whether because of the relationship that they offer you or the companionship you have with them? Some people in our lives, it's just easy to say and to show that you love them. As I look at my life, I've been blessed to have many people that would fall into that category for me. People that when I interact with them, love is just kind of a natural overflow of emotion that I have towards them. One, for example, is my mom, who's here. So I'm going to tell a really nice story so we can go to a nice lunch after this. My mom, growing up, gave me, specifically the story I'll tell you now, there was a three-month window where she gave me a very clear picture of why it's easy for me to love her. I went to a Christian school in Richmond, Virginia. The school was called Richmond Christian School. The marketing guy didn't have much creativity. It's called Richmond Christian School, and like most Christian schools, I think, because the student body was so widespread to where they live, they didn't have a bus program, so it was up to each parent to figure out how their kid was going to get to and from school each day. You could do a carpool, your kid hopefully maybe one day would be old enough to drive, or you could drop them off and pick them up every day yourself. It must have been my sophomore year because my mom was still having to drop me off and pick me up every day. One particular day, school is out, school bell rings, I walk outside to the car line, I see my mom's car, I walk over to my mom's car, I open the door, and I could smell why I loved my mom. Bo, was she wearing a nice perfume? Maybe, I don't remember. But some of you guys, you like essential oils, this was like an essential oil to me. It was the smell of McDonald's. If you do not know me, I love McDonald's so much. And my mom had got me a 2-cheeseburger value meal with no pickles and a Coke, which is $4.67 in Virginia or $5.13 in Greenville, if you're wondering. It's embarrassing that I know that, but that meal is delicious to me. I love McDonald's. And my mom had gotten me McDonald's. So in that moment, I knew I love this woman. But not everyone's as easy for us to love, are they? Not everyone in our lives that we interact with is as easy to love, are they? The guy that molested me for 2 years when I was growing up, not as easy to demonstrate love to him. Or maybe for you, it's your family. You watched your mom cause so much hurt to your dad that to even have positive emotions towards her is a struggle, much less to love her. Or the hurt that your dad caused you personally. Or the business partner that promised you, hey, we're gonna invest in this and I'm in this till the end. And when things got tough, he was gone, leaving you with a lot of debt. Or your sibling, the one that was always so much better than you at everything. You know, the one that on the trophy shelf at home, it's filled with their stuff and your parents could barely find room to put your most improved chess player certificate. It's tough to love them sometimes. Or your coworker, or your boss that seems unrelenting in his pursuit of enforcing every single rule he can find on you. Some of my interns are like, yeah, that's, I know that. But not everyone's easy to love. So who in your life do you find to be most difficult to love? Who in your life do you find that every time they seem to find a way into your life, you try to find a way out? Who in your life that every time they're around, the emotion of anger is also around? Or bitterness, or hurt, or resentment? Who in your life do you find to be most difficult to love? I'd love it if we could all maybe just take a couple seconds and maybe we can just come up with one name. Because we all, I think, as I've interacted with enough of you, we all have that person. So maybe just take a couple seconds and consider that question. Who in your life is most difficult for you to love? This morning, we have the incredible opportunity to continue reading through Paul's letter that he wrote to his friends in Rome. Biblically, the book is called Romans. We've called our series through the book of Romans, Liberate, Saving and Sustaining Grace. And all that means is the same grace that met you where you were at will continue to meet you where you're at and lead you into a relationship with God. This morning, specifically, I'm sensing that God is wanting us to consider how we can love those that are difficult to love, why we would decide to love those people that are difficult to love, and what it would look like to love them and the source of that love. So if you've got your Bible, we'll be in Romans chapter 12 this morning. If you do not have your Bible, we'll have everything on the screen for you so you can read along with us. Romans chapter 12, we'll be picking up in verse 9. When you find it, go ahead and stand up and we'll read the scriptures together. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor or be disgusted by hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let's all read verse 14 together. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Let's read verse 18 together. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray together. God, your love that we have already sung about this morning amazes us. We look at your love and we use the word awesome, meaning it causes us to be filled with awe. It's your love that woke us up this morning with purpose. It's your love that promised us new mercies, promised to lead us. It's your love that even gave us opportunities to sing back to you the praise that you're due. So we thank you because we know your love. We thank you in advance for what you're going to show us about yourself this morning. Because of your faithfulness, we by faith say, thank you, God, for how you're going to lead in the moments that follow this one. Amen. You guys can take a seat. So Paul is writing to his friends in Rome, and his friends are also members in the church. They're a part of the church in Rome, which is why earlier in Romans chapter 12, Paul refers to them as brothers. He's saying, you've also accepted Christ. We're in the same family now. So he's writing this letter to his brothers and his sisters in Rome. And he starts off this portion of his letter by addressing their relationship with each other. Last week, Mike taught from verses 1 through 8, and we saw that every member of the body of Christ has been given a spiritual gift to encourage each other. So Paul's talking about, their relationship with each other. So he says, you've been given something to encourage and to build up each other. And I love when Mike just said this quote. He said, you have a spiritual gift, and the rest of the body needs you to use it. You have a spiritual gift, and the rest of the body needs you to use it. But what Paul's after isn't just, hey, let's all sit around and acknowledge we have gifts and let's use those gifts. Paul's more so concerned with the heart behind why you would use those gifts. Paul's after love. He was saying, in love, I want you to utilize the gifts that God's given you to build up, to encourage the other members of the church. So he starts off by referring to the relationships with the other people in church, and typically what he's doing here is he's starting off with something that's a little easier for the people in Rome to hear. It's not for someone to tell me, hey, you need to get along with Matt Cochran. That's not really difficult. He's also a brother in Christ. We're fighting for the same unity. It's not tough. It wouldn't be confrontational for Paul to say, hey, get along with people in the church. So Paul starts off by saying that, and he says, let love, verse 9, let love be genuine. He's saying, love other people with authenticity. Don't have selfish motives when you're loving people in church. Don't take advantage of the weak people in the church or the wealthy people that you're trying to love to get something out of. He says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. He's saying, as you're loving the people in the church, pursue purity together. Don't pursue, again, selfish motives or things that the enemy would want you to pursue. Pursue God. Push each other to Christ-likeness. And then he continues, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. He's saying, honor everyone. Place value on everyone, whether they have a lot to offer you or nothing to offer you. Place value on them because God's placed value on them. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Paul's saying, don't be passive about this idea. This is significant. Give some thought to it. Have some drive behind you loving the people that you're in worship community with. Suffer with them when they're going through difficult times. Be patient. Be constant in prayer. Consistently take them before the Father. And then he goes on to verse 13. He says, as much as you can, contribute to the needs of the saints. and seek to show hospitality. So again, Paul's talking to the church in Rome, and he starts off with something that would have been a little easier for them to hear. Guys, love each other. But Paul knew that love didn't stop there. Paul knew that Jesus' explanation of what love was didn't just cover the people that are easy to love. In fact, he would have known that in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this. You don't have to turn there. We'll have it on screens for you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42, or actually starting in verse 43. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I, Jesus, say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, so that you may demonstrate to those around you that you belong to God. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So Jesus is saying, God doesn't show partiality in this way, what he provides for these people. Don't you do that. Don't show partiality. "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others?" So Paul, knowing that that's Jesus' definition and explanation of love, not just loving the people that are easy, Paul kind of makes this turn too. He goes from in verse 10, where he said, "Love one another with brotherly affection." He goes from saying that to, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse them." And he says it again in verse 18 when he says, "If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, with those that are difficult and with those that are easy." What Paul is getting at in this section of loving those that are difficult reminds me of a meeting I had about 6 months ago. I was sitting in a Starbucks, and I was actually, if I remember correctly, I was prepping for a Resonate message that week. And as I'm sitting there, I look up and I see this guy that I've been counseling and meeting with from time to time walk in. We'll call him Ryan. Ryan walks into Starbucks, and Ryan's typically a very extroverted, outgoing guy, fun to be around. And I could tell right away, this wasn't Ryan's day. He looked depressed. His eye contact was very limited. His sentences were very short. So I asked him, "Hey man, like, what's going on? You look kind of out of it. You look like you're in a funk." He said, "I am." I said, "Okay, like, what happened?" He said, "Well, earlier today, I kind of got in an argument with my brother." And I said, "What was the argument about?" And he said, "Well, we haven't really gotten along for the last 3 years." And I said, "Well, why have you not gotten along?" He was like, "Well, 3 years ago, I got plugged in with this Christian organization at my school. It was FCA. And he hates the church. Our family," I didn't know this before then, but their family had been massively hurt by the church when they were younger. Ryan was too young to remember, but his older brother definitely remembered and wanted nothing to do with the church. He now claimed to be a devout atheist. So for his brother to be plugged into FCA, a Christian organization, it almost seemed like he was kind of turning on his family and going to the people that hurt them. So he said, "This particular day, me and all my Christian friends were hanging out, and my brother walks in and just starts ridiculing us and making fun of us and humiliating us." He said, "Bo, I don't think I've ever been that angry." So needless to say, Ryan was discouraged. And Ryan, he probably wouldn't have called his brother an enemy, but it was definitely, he was experiencing what it was like to have someone in your life that's tough to love. So he looked at me and he said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Love him. Even when he does things like he did today, love him." And he looked at me and he asked a question that I have a feeling many in this room are asking right now when you think about loving the person that is difficult to love. He said, "How? How can I love him? 3 years of baggage, 3 years of hurt, all culminating today. How can I love him?" Or maybe for you, it's, "How can I love my boss that he just let me go? How can I love my spouse after they just said or they did that so long ago? How can I love my sibling when they're constantly trying to one-up me? How can I love my coworker? How can I love my boyfriend, my girlfriend? How can I love the person in my life that's so difficult to love?" That's exactly what I want us to talk about tonight. This morning, I'm used to resonate. We always say tonight. That's what I want us to talk about this morning. How to love the people that are difficult to love in your life. And we're going to look at two truths that will affect how we interact with and hopefully love the people that are difficult to love in our lives. So if you're a note taker, this would be great for you. If you're not a note taker, I'd love for you to find a way to jot these down. I do believe that these truths will affect how we interact with people that really don't want to be loved or that we find are difficult to love. Truth number one, the same gospel that works for you will work for those around you, specifically the ones that are difficult to love. The same gospel that works for you will work for those around you. You might be saying, Bo, this is my first time in like a setting like this. What does the word gospel mean? I'm glad I asked for you. The gospel, God, the creator of all the universe, after 6 days of creation, set back and he said, this is very good. This is very good what I have created, including mankind and specifically his relationship with mankind. There is no separation. There is no distance. There is nothing between man and creator. The enemy, Satan, came on the scene and tempted man to look outside of God for satisfaction, to look outside of God for hope. And man gave in to those lies. In that moment, there was distance between creator and man. And ever since, God's been on a relentless pursuit of loving his people. That's the gospel, God pursuing and loving you and I. He did so by sending Jesus, and the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus is why you and I can be in a relationship with God. That's what the gospel is. So when we say the gospel that works for you and I will work for those around you, that's the gospel. And let me say this, if that's the gospel that saved me, and if that's the gospel that's leading me to be more of an image of who Jesus is on this earth, and if that's the gospel that saved you, met you where you were at, then that's the gospel that God's going to use to save, redeem, and love the people that are so hard for you to love. The gospel that works for you will work for those around you. The gospel has changed your life, and by faith, you've got to believe that that coworker, that boss, or that former spouse or current spouse or sibling, that's the same gospel God's going to use to change their life radically and love them. So let me just ask you this question. I'll give you some space to think about it. What prevents you from believing that the same God that has pursued and loved you wants to pursue and love those around you? And maybe for that phrase, those around you, just put in that person's name that you've been thinking about. What prevents you from believing that the same God that has pursued and loved you wants to pursue and love blank? Take just maybe 30 seconds to consider that. So truth number one in regards to loving those that are difficult to love in our lives, loving our, maybe we could use the word enemies, that's what Jesus referred to them as. Truth number one, the same gospel that works for you will work for those around you. Truth number two, your love is not sufficient to love those that are difficult to love in your life. I know what you may be thinking, Bo, you just talked for the last 25 minutes telling me I need to love the people that are difficult to love, and now all of a sudden you're saying that's not good enough. And you're right. Your love, my love, is temporary. It's conditional, oftentimes on performance. If you're doing this, then I love you. If you don't do that well, I don't love you. It's temporary, it's conditional, and it's oftentimes self-serving. I love you because you do blank for me. And the people that we're thinking about, the people that are difficult in our lives to love, don't need love like that. They need a love that's unconditional. They need a love that's, as we sung about, everlasting. Some of you see where I'm going. They need the love of God. So it's true. Your love is not sufficient to love those that are difficult to love in your life. Romans 5:8 says this about God's love. But God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, when we are still his enemies, Christ died for us. God loved us when we were his enemies. And that is the exact same love that God is going to demonstrate, don't miss this, through you. So it's not like a hands-off, like, okay, Bo said God's going to love him, so all right, see you in 6 months when you're better. God's going to use you to love them. So let me ask you this question. What would the love of God going through you to those that are difficult for you to love look like? How can you display the love of God this week to those that are difficult to love in your life? What would the love of God going through you to those that are difficult to love, for you to love, look like? You know, those are the same two questions I asked Ryan that day. Obviously, I didn't make him as pithy as I do for a message, but I asked him two very similar questions. Do you believe that the same God that loves you has met you where you're at, has been gracious and kind with you? Do you believe the same God that's loved you like that loves your brother like that? And what would it look like for you to trust God to love your brother through you? By the end of the conversation, there seemed to be this lights on moment for Ryan. He kind of looked a little more excited. He was still obviously going through a difficult time, but he looked like there's a little hope that maybe he could love his brother. Maybe his relationship that's been rocky for 3 years doesn't have to stay that way. So that was the end of our conversation. We kind of go our separate ways. We kept in touch a little bit. We didn't really talk about his brother often until 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I was dropping one of my interns off at his car here. We had just eaten McDonald's, go figure. And I get a phone call from Ryan, and we start to talk, and I said, well, what are you up to? And he said, well, we left lunch. And I said, well, who's we? And he said, my family and I, which wasn't common because his family didn't get along with him either. I said, oh, that's cool. Why'd y'all decide to go to lunch? He's like, well, after we all went to church together, we thought that'd be a good idea. I said, after we all went to church together? And he said, yeah, brother included. Does Ryan's brother have a relationship with God? Not yet. But he has a relationship with someone who God's going to love him through. And that's what you and I get to be a part of. Identifying who in our life is difficult to love, and then trusting God to love them using us. And watching. It's almost like this moment where you can just step back and just watch what God does. Watch God drastically change their life and shape their life using you to demonstrate a love that meets them where they're at. A love that isn't conditional. A love that is patient, kind, shows mercy. That's what we get to be a part of. So let me ask you again, who in your life do you find to be most difficult to love? And I don't want you to come up with the whole list. My hope and my prayer this morning isn't that you would walk out of here like supercharged for 30 minutes, like, I'm going to go love every enemy I've ever had. Just pick one. I believe it'll be so captivating to watch the work of God. After you love one, you'll keep loving more. But for now, let's just go for one. Who do you find in your life to be most difficult to love? And what would it look like for you to trust the same God that has loved you to lead you to love those around you? What would it look like for you to have a conversation with God where you ask His Spirit to lead you to have the faith and the patience and the kindness and the love to demonstrate His love to those that have hurt us? And I know that's not an easy question for many of us. Because I know many of your stories, and I know for me to say, who's the most difficult person in your life, you're thinking of your dad that sexually took advantage of you for the first 15 years of your life. And to love him seems impossible. But what would it look like for you to not lean on your own love, realizing that's not enough anyway, but trusting the God that's demonstrated love to you while you were an enemy, to love those that are difficult for you to love? I believe our whole time together this morning can be summed up in just two sentences. Again, if you're a note taker, these are some great truths. God's love for you is proof that loving your enemies is possible. God's love for you is proof that loving your enemies is possible. And we talked about how our love would not be sufficient. Well, here's a truth to go with this morning. God's unending love is sufficient for you and for those around you. He's the greatest source of unending love. And he's got enough to distribute to you and then for you to carry and give out to those around you. God's unending love is sufficient for you and for those around you. Let's pray together. I'd love to actually give you maybe just a minute or two to have a conversation with God about what he said this morning. Don't be afraid to boldly talk to him about the person in your life that is difficult to love, and to also boldly ask him to give you the grace and patience to love them. So let's just take a minute or so to talk with God about loving those people. God, we celebrate that you have loved us. We love to be loved by you. And we admit our hesitations, our fears of being taken advantage of, our fears of being hurt again. We admit those and we offer them to you, knowing that the same love, the same grace that led us to start a relationship with you will also carry us through those moments. Jesus, thank you for being the perfect picture of love while you're on this earth, a picture for us to model our lives after. Spirit, thank you for the promise to go with us, the promise that you've gone before us, and that you've already orchestrated moments for us to love those that are difficult to love with the Father's love, not our own. Amen.